This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. Talking about sex in video games and how it can be perceived and some of the video games that got it right and some of the video games that got it very, very wrong. I don't even know where to start here. I can start by saying the first video game that had sex in it was actually back in 1981. It was a text-based game called Soft Porn Adventure. Because, you know, adventures.
It's like, it's just an erotic fan fiction. Sorry. The game.
I actually found that particularly
funny.
I want
to play that. Soft porn adventures.
It sold a lot. It came out, it was in an article in Time magazine as well. And they were going to make one for straight women as well. Very important to make one for straight women as well.
It was such
men.
A big market in video games back then.
Yeah, but it never happened in the end, which is probably a good thing, I think. There were also some other erotic video games back in the 80s, including one called Nightlife, which was a graphic adventure game. Which had some sex stuff in it. And even 1983, there was a game called X-Man, which featured the player as a nude man working through a maze toward a pink door in the center, past crabs, teeth, and scissors, and players that reached the pink door were rewarded with a controllable sex scene.
I feel like all of those characters are like a euphemism for like a
yes.
vagina and then
yes.
crab teeth and scissors.
Yeah, that's
I never thought
that's,
of that,
that's Kev. The joke.
You're onto the ball today. Yeah, you're right. You know, so back in the day, it was very vulgar. One of the worst cases of this happening was in 1982, and it was brought up on social media by a couple of people as well. It was a game called Custer's Revenge. It featured a man wearing nothing but a hat, with the goal being to have sex with a Native American woman who is tied to a pole, with no real reason for doing that.
Oh, so Custer angry. Was killed in a battle in the US. He's a general in the
right
United States.
Yes.
So he gets revenge by doing that,
but,
which is bad. So yeah, Aiden and also Jaden online mentioned this one. Aiden said, don't talk about it. And Jaden said, definitely talk about it. So, you know, that's just a really obvious example, even back then, you know, of things done wrong. And there's nothing that's been that particularly vulgar nowadays, but there's definitely been games that have pushed the boundary.
So much woohoo. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Steam re-released that recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there was a big backlash from it. And, yeah, that's how I know about it, just because Steam tried to re-release
why?
It.
Why? I mean, I know that it's history, but why?
No,
why bring that out in today's
because,
world?
Yeah, why do that? I don't understand. And, yeah, so I think it got banned. Might have to double-check it.
I
but
I can fact-check that.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, it was re-released recently, and, yeah, there was a big backlash about it, because obviously that should not, like, that does not fly. Like, just no. Big nope.
Yeah, bad. And yeah, it did raise a big fuss back in the day as well. Of course it did. It had to. So yeah, I mean, we've come a long way since then, thankfully. But one of the games in the 80s that did do sex in games in a certain way that has lasted the test of time, you would say, seven of them have come out over the last 30 years, which is pretty good longevity. Kev, you're a fan of this one.
I don't think... They haven't had one that's come out for a little while.
Yeah, but still. Yeah. It was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's still pretty good.
I think it was. So it was basically... it came out first in 1987. Geez, that's when I was born.
Yeah, me too.
Was the lovely, the wonderful Leisure Suit Larry in Leisure the land Larry. Of the lounge lizards.
Which we played the theme song for at the top of the show, orchestrated by Austin Wintory, who added some big orchestral sound to it as well.
This is one of those games that I remember as a kid because it would come on like one of those... Do you guys remember like the 30 compilation discs, like CDs that would have like 30 games on them or 100 games on them? Yep, yep. But Leisure Suit Larry had this... basically, it was like an age check thing at the very beginning of the game, which would ask you some random question that was like a history-based question.
Oh, wow. Like a
now,
test.
A lot of them were very American, so you'd be looking at these history-based questions going, I don't really know. But if you answered it correctly, then you could actually play the game.
Right.
So, Leisure Suit Larry was one of those ones where it was like the game... in a way taught you about safe sex as well, because obviously the goal of the show though is always about sex, but if in the first one, if you had sex unprotected, you could catch an STD and you'd die.
Yep.
If you had sex with the wrong person, you would die. Like, there was all of these different things.
I've been there, man.
Yeah, exactly. There was all of these different things. The one that I played the most and that I remember playing the most was, I can't remember what number exactly it was, but it was set on a cruise ship. And it was a very cartoony version of Leisure Suit Larry.
Yep.
Set on this cruise ship. And I just remember playing it for hours and just being highly amused by everything that would happen in this. And there was a lot of those double entendres. There was a lot of really inappropriate things. There was a lot of, like, find the hidden dildos around the ship, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And it was just that they are ridiculous games in their like appeal for why they are so
I mean, it's intentional, it's intentionally tongue-in-cheek, but in a way not really distasteful, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't feel dirty or wrong playing them. They're kind of just a bit silly, you know,
because they're comedic. So yeah. I think and a lot of you know, there it's not I guess with some games, you know, they use women as an object, that kind of thing. It's often that the character himself, Leisure Suit Larry, is the one that's being objectified a lot of the time. And he's this short little man as well. So it kind of adds to that whole thing. Like, he's typically non-sex appeal-y type guy.
Yep.
But yet, you know, and he's trying to use sex to get what he wants, but often he's the one that's used in the actual process.
Yeah, very popular game franchise, that's for sure. And there are people on Facebook again that brought him up. So Elliot and Nathan both mentioned Leisure Suit Larry as a big one there as well. So, but I guess, you know, over the last sort of 10 to 15 years or so is when you've really started seeing sex come a bit further when it comes to video games. You know, particularly because nowadays you actually have a choice in some games you choose even who you get to have sex with. So it's not even just about, you know, watching some sex scene and feeling kind of pervy about it. It's actually about sort of partaking, or your main character partaking in a decision. So, I mean, I'd be silly not to talk about the more recent one that comes to mind, which is anything from BioWare, basically, in terms of Mass Effect and Dragon Age as well, which features all sorts of sexualities, all sorts of characters, but actually does it in quite a tasteful kind of way.
Agreed. Did they have that function in Knights of the Old Republic?
Don't know about that.
Anyone?
Didn't play it.
Don't know.
Yeah. Neither.
But I mean, it's handled so well in, I have to say Dragon Age, because I haven't played a lot of the Mass Effect games. But in Dragon Age in particular, even the silly sex scenes, they still have heart to them. They're not, like, completely vulgar and ridiculous. Even when they walk in on the Iron Bull, who's naked and spread out on the bed, it's not done in this horrible sort of way where it's super comedic. Like, it's funny, but it's not, like... taboo,
it's
stupid,
like an
funny,
awkward situation, funny, yeah, like something that could actually
it's
happen.
Believable. It's believable. Yeah, that's why it's great.
And the other characters are like, okay, well, you guys just finish what you're doing and come join us when you're done. All good. Like, they handle it well.
It sets them up as relationships, not purely as a sex thing. Like, there's people have playthrough methods of like sleeping with as many people as you can in Mass Effect, but it's actually quite difficult because once you trigger one relationship lock-in, it closes off a lot of
things. Which is the same with Dragon Age, is that you actually have to spend a lot of time...
Courting.
You have to do the... You have to say the right thing. If you say the wrong thing, you're in trouble. You have to do quests for them, that kind of stuff. You have to actually spend
time... If you accidentally murder his friend...
Yeah, then you're totally ruined. And, and that's the thing as well, I think, that I found quite interesting with Dragon Age, was that if you had spent time on certain people, other characters would end up hooking up. Because that was like, well, it's real life. Yeah. They're not going to all wait for you, waiting for the Inquisitor.
That was the first time they've included that, and I really liked that. It was a great touch.
Dorian and Iron Bull just killed me. It was amazing. But yeah, no, I agree. I think Dragon Age did those sex scenes really tastefully. And I think there's so many more options they could have done. Like, you could have just, like, hooked up and just been, like, bed buddies. Like, that's okay, too. And yeah, I don't know. I think they did it really well. They didn't really objectify anybody. And I like, when it comes to sex scenes in video games, that's kind of what I find important. Not who they're sleeping with, or, you know, the relationship between the people they're sleeping with, but how
it's handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So a way that it hasn't been handled very well, and this one was brought up online as well by Guy, and also Chris as well. So they mentioned God of War, and they mentioned it not being an effective sex scene. Now, for those who haven't seen it, in God of War 3, you find Aphrodite, you walk in on her, and she's literally making out half-naked with two other girls. As you do. And, you know, Kratos walks in, and it's like, what are you doing? And the other two girls walk off, and then Aphrodite flirts with him and lies on the bed. And basically, you have the option, yes or no, to have sex with her. You'd choose yes normally, because it's kind of, you want to see how it's going to play out, really. So, once you choose yes, the camera pans across to the other two girls watching, and it triggers a quick time event, where you have to move the buttons in certain ways to trigger moans and grunts and stuff like that, whilst the other two girls look on and say things like, oh, he's so manly, oh, he's so big, and they get all excited. So excited, in fact, they end up making out with each other.
Oh, my God.
So...
Now, I remember using the phrase masculine power fantasy in my review of God of War 3.
Bang.
Yeah.
It goes for a whole minute, because I timed it today while I was at work.
Oh, God.
Working hard. About a minute of this. You better work, bitch. You know, it was... It's a lot, you know, and I just can't imagine sitting there and pressing those buttons and actually thinking it was entertaining. It's really strange. It made me feel really pervy.
That Wait. Made me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so is it a minute a long time in sex or short? Just asking for a friend.
It felt like years today watching that video. It felt like a long time. It was super awkward. And I just can't imagine sitting there and having my partner next to me and me playing this game and, like, you know, literally banging Aphrodite off screen while two... hot girls watch and make out with each other. It was weird. It's very strange.
Don't worry, Kevin. Just remember to click triangle when it prompts.
Yeah. It's very voyeuristic.
And then, Meeks, how do you feel about that as a woman? How does that make you feel?
That's like super uncomfortable. Like, I like the ladies too, but geez, like, no, like, nope, 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 nope.
But also, as a human, right, I am uncomfortable with the fact that you as the player get to choose that sex happens by saying yes yourself, and the person with which the sex occurs has no agency over the situation whatsoever. Oh. And also, you get a bonus lesbian scene. Like,
Why?
And also, like, oh, look, it was a lesbian scene. Oh, look, they can't resist the masculine power fantasy that walked into the room. Oh, isn't that lovely?
Oh, it's like cringeworthy. It's face.
Sorry, everything is wrong about it. Like, everything is wrong. Oh, God.
You're on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9, and we're talking all about sex in video games and some of the games that do it well and some of the games that don't do it so well. Now, another one that I wanted to bring up as well, a bit of a stupid one, really, but it was released about 12-13 years ago, BMX XXX, which is a game that's a bit infamous for actually making the development team that sent it out go bankrupt, basically has you riding a BMX around naked, doing tricks like a Tony Hawk style game, and all the quests you get are from, like, prostitutes and stuff like that. It's all very ridiculous. And then if you complete challenges, it unlocks a video of a real stripper on a stripper pole dancing for you for about 30 seconds. So you're literally rewarded by getting to watch girls dance for money.
So this just reminds me of, like, those games that came out that were essentially strip poker, and they did have real women as the video, and they would, if you win, they would actually strip.
Yeah.
And That just seemed bizarre to me. Like,
yeah, now, yeah, famously, Dave Mirror, who used to be, you know, the Tony Hawk of BMX, he was like Dave Mirror BMX games before this one, was still sort of, I guess, the brand was still associated with him, given that it was the third or fourth BMX game that had come out in a few years. And he ended up getting quite obviously upset and ended up suing the company for using that game and still having his likeness and his name sort of kind of hovering over it. So it caused a massive problem. And the game was also terrible, even with the content. Like it wasn't good in the first place. There was nothing really good about it at all. So
I have no opinion.
Well,
sounds horrible.
Look, if you want to ingrain stripping as a reward, you may as well do it at a young age.
Well,
oh god, geez.
I do not endorse Finn's point of view. Other games as well, though. I want to talk about one that freaked me out today.
Was it coming out on top?
That's coming up next.
Was it because of the fish picture?
This is DMC. Now, in this sex scene in DMC, it's a sex scene between two demons, where one demon is getting done from behind, and
the female demon
is getting done from behind, so much so that her facelift comes loose, and she has to pull it back and reapply her face.
Well, okay, so what I was explaining to Luke Elliott was that because she's had so much, like, plastic surgery and whatever, and she was quite old, like, her whole skin was loose, and so she has this tightening thing at the back of her head. But as they were having sex, he's the demon king, basically, so he was so strong that all came loose, and it was disgusting. Yeah. But that game, like, there's sex in it right from the start. I mean, in the opening sequence, you have... It's Dante, isn't it? Yeah,
it is Dante.
With, you know, some girls, and then he wakes up and he's naked, and then there's gratuitous male sort of semi-nudity, and that scene is just one of the ones where you just go, oh, this is actually how gross these people are.
It's super awkward.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Horrible. It's super really bad.
Super, super awkward. But then the battle with her, because she's pregnant with the demon spawn, is even worse. So yeah. It's just the whole game is slightly awkward in a way.
Yeah,
slightly.
Meeks, you want to say something? You can see
I don't know if I want to say anything about that. Oh my god,
have you played it?
No, and now I'm never going to.
Don't. It's a terrible
ever.
Game.
Yeah,
do you think about the fact that someone had to program that stuff? Like someone sat there and
Someone
it. Like,
storyboarded it.
Yeah, someone designed it. But it's also what it reminds me of, and we talked about this as well, is the game Dante's Inferno, because you go through basically the seven layers of hell. So you go through lust, and that whole level, you have like enemies that are shooting things out of their vaginas at you to grapple you. You have people coming all over you, like,
yeah.
And this giant woman battle with this woman at the end, who her nipples flip open and babies come out of it. Like, it's just some of these games that use sex, and it's
And even Catherine has, you're chased up this tower that you're trying to climb to escape, and it's basically a giant butthole with a tongue chasing you up a tower.
At least it's anatomically correct, right?
Oh my god. Okay.
Well,
no, Finn, babies don't come from nipples.
They do.
On Critical Hit, we do not endorse whatever these developers were on.
Critical Hit does not endorse babies coming from nipples. Now, one that I want to talk about that came up a few times online as well, so Matthew mentioned this one, as did Scott, and Archie, you know a bit about this one.
I do.
Too. It is a title called Coming Out on Top.
It's such a great title.
It's PC gay dating simulator,
yeah,
right?
Dating sim.
Okay, I don't know much about it, but I saw a picture of a guy making out with a fish.
It was a Kickstarter. Well, that was a secret ending.
I have concerns.
You could romance your fish.
Yeah, but the game, you got game over if you did that.
Yeah.
Because it meant that you had lost your mind and therefore just couldn't complete the game. So.
Yeah,
I love that. Sorry, that's great.
Yeah, well, it's a good game. I really need to play more of it.
So how's you coming out to your friends right at the start of the game? So, you know, I guess, you know, a lot of people mentioned there's, you know, with dating simulators and stuff like that, that there's not really a game for them when you have, you know, when you're gay or trans and stuff like that. So I think that it's a good way of saying, hey, you know, this game is something that I can play and I actually get to romance guys rather than a game forcing me to romance females.
It's
so,
pretty
I mean,
graphic
in that sense,
also.
But that's okay. I have nothing against having sex in video games. It's how it's tackled. Like, I don't have anything against nudity. I don't care if it's very graphic sex scenes. Like, go nuts. It's
completely
fine.
Oh, there's a toilet stall scene. Interesting.
You said tackle and I laughed.
Okay. No worries.
Yep. So now also, I mean, also another one that comes up a lot when it comes to sex scenes and the media and stuff like that, Grand Theft Auto, right? Now, GDA, it has obviously the big controversy from more recently, which we've known for a long time. Well, now, I'm talking about the idea of picking up hookers and then paying them.
Oh, that one.
And then beating them and taking the money back.
Sorry, so many sexual controversies.
But also the hot coffee mod, which is a mini game that you could unlock if you're a modder and you find it in the coding and stuff, that allows you to press buttons to create excitement for the girl that you're having sex with.
Fully clothed.
And it shows you fully clothed, bumping uglies on screen.
It looks hilarious. Have you seen the footage from it?
Ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
But it caused a massive fuss. And, you know, I think, Meigs, you know, you mentioned about, you know, sex is okay in video games, but it's about how it's handled and how it's portrayed. And, you know, a game like Dragon Age, you know, it has a lot of sex in it and a lot of sexuality and stuff like that, but it's done in a way that is tasteful and it doesn't cause controversy because it's just the world they've built so well that it doesn't matter.
And they did it super respectfully. And even if they went, like, all out and did really graphic sex scenes, I'd still be A-okay with that because of how it was handled.
But then you have GDA, which is the opposite of that.
Yes.
And that's why it makes the media and gets everyone talking about it in a negative way because it's just, it's so gratuitous and stupid, you know? Yeah. It's not the right way to do things. It's not how the real world works. You know what I mean? And it just, it's really wrong in that sense and it's caused a lot of problems, so...
Yeah, if they just, like, started treating women as, like, humans and not objects, that'd be a good start.
Even Saints Row, which is in the same world as GDA in terms of it's an open world gang-based shooter, whatever you want to call it. Saints Row tackles sexuality pretty well. Like, you can have sex with whoever you want, and it can be male or female, and it can be... It doesn't matter what relationship it is. And it's handled in a cute sort of way. It mostly happens off-screen, but the build-up to it and the flirtation is actually the kind of flirtation that you would normally expect in real life, and it kind of works in the game. In a game that's so stupid and ridiculous, and Meigs, you reviewed that for us. And,
yeah,
it is stupid. Yeah.
It is. It's totally stupid, and it's totally satirical, and that's why it works.
Yeah, especially for it was designed as a satire of particularly the romance sequences of BioWare games.
Yeah.
The idea that you can romance everyone's a bit odd because it doesn't reflect the individual character's sexuality. Like, everyone's pan or bisexual, that's just not realistic.
True.
But it's a satire, so it's fine, and they handled it well. Still, it wasn't there was agency of the characters. They didn't, there wasn't like refusal or rape or anything like that. It just kept it clean.
But that's how, like, we're sort of BioWare with Dragon Age. They had a bevy of different characters, and you had straight, gay, bisexual, only dates their own race, only, you know, pansexual, all of that kind of stuff. There was these completely different characters, and they basically were like, well, they exist in the real world, so therefore they exist in the game.
Yeah. And there's mods, though, that turns every straight character bisexual.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on the computer.
Party.
But then as soon as somebody goes, I want to make Dorian straight, everyone's like, no, you can't do that, which is like,
because
I get it.
Because it builds it into his backstory.
Yeah,
like,
his
is actually, like, you know, sexuality is part of his story, so it's a big
thing. It's funny, because, you know, I mean, you mentioned mods, which I have to talk about as well, Meigs, because there are games that... Lots of games you can mod nowadays. And are people that insert sex into video games, you know, like Skyrim, for example. Elder Scrolls is always one of those games everyone mods.
Yep.
Stuff like that. And they in Half-Life, even. And there's games where people have obviously decided they want to create sex scenes and stuff like that in there.
Oh,
so,
my God. The dot point descriptions of the schlongs of Skyrim mods.
What?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Also,
please don't Google that.
It's just like the descriptions. This is so funny.
It's like The
not
Sims.
Not safe for work. Not safe for work.
Realistic
the
physics.
The Sims, how they have the mod, like, in The Sims to remove the pixelation. Like, why?
Why do that? What about in The Sims where you can have sex with a ghost
as
well?
Why
do that?
Why not?
It's The Sims. It's a parody of life. It's not supposed to be hyper-realistic. And, like... Who's being harmed in a ghost on human relationship?
One more quick question, guys. I want to go around the room really quick before we finish up. Just the answer and the quick reason as to why you think that. Does sex have a place in video games?
Yes,
Archer,
definitely. Why? Because it happens in life. Why can't it happen in video games? I mean, that you shouldn't really apply that to everything because there's definitely a lot of harmful things that happen in the real world that you shouldn't try and bring across into every medium. But yeah, sex is not harmful. It's something that happens with majority of people and we should celebrate it.
Cool. Meigs?
Yeah, I agree with Archer. It's something that happens in life and we need to have positive representation of that in our media and therefore that'll translate into life and make things better. So that's,
cool. Finn?
Absolutely, but like it being included in films, it should be thought about really hard.
before, got one in there before, right?
Before it's included, because it's important that it's done correctly.
Yep. Kev?
Yeah, I think basically the same as Finn is that, you know, it needs to be done and it needs to be there for a particular reason and it needs to not be used as a plot point.
Yeah. And, you know, like any game mechanic, you know, if they just throw it in there just to have it, it shouldn't be in the game. And it's not just about sex scenes. It's anything that really is just thrown in for no reason. You know, you sort of wonder, why is this even there? It didn't need to be there. It's not part of the story. There's no reason for this to change. There's no reason to have a quick time event where I'm pushing buttons to penetrate someone. So, I mean, ultimately, yeah, if it's done properly and it's worked in a proper way, it should totally be there. But, I mean, if it's just there for the sake of it, like any game mechanic, it really shouldn't be there at all. And people shouldn't do it just to be controversial.
Agreed.
Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
People just throw it in there to be, you know, to be controversial and to get their game sold, which is obviously why that original game was made. Well, you know, there's a few things like that, and GTA is definitely very, very popular, partly because of that whole violence and sex combination. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.